would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
The night when he comes up here is either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
It's me, John Forward, the host of the St. John Forward radio show that you're listening to right now. Oh, we're here every Monday, live on Local FM, 9 o'clock, or maybe you're listening to the podcast version, like some sort of Johnny Come Lately. But the true fans are listening to it live, so they can get in on the water cooler talk tomorrow. It's the show that nobody is talking about. Just coming off a show that hopefully people are talking about, because it went pretty well. We just had No Jokes Barred at the R Bar this past Saturday. We had Marty D, Simon Greeno, Ian Esty, Eric Chason, Sam Laidman, Matt Keen, and Brian Godso. Comedy duo John Forward and RF Hussein. I think that was the whole lineup. There was a few other people that were supposed to be there, but had cancellations, some more legit than others, but you move on. The show was the show, and it was a good time. Quick work update. I'm not going to get into it too much because it's kind of depressing, which never stopped me before, but there are good days and there are bad days, or good hours and bad hours, but the bad hours are outnumbering the good ones lately. I don't feel like I'm accomplishing something. I really hope I am, but it really doesn't feel like it a lot of the time. As I've said, I'm not going to get into too many details, but I'm working with a kid with special needs, and it can be difficult, and it's not made any easier by the fact that he seems to hate my guts a lot of the time. That's kind of a bummer, but I don't know. There's a lot of factors that I don't want to get into, confidentiality, but I'm not really sure how much of the problem is me and how much is the factors that are out of my control. I want to do a better job, like, for my own sake, so that I'm not just being a nag all day, but also for the kid. My entire job is to help this kid have fun at summer camp, but he doesn't make it easy. I could use some more training and some guidance, probably, and to my surprise, they seem to be actually making some progress on that at work, so I'm going to see what happens. That's good, but I don't know. It's in the moment, it's depressing, and me being in a weird mood about it all day probably isn't helping the fact. It's getting kind of hard to smile through it all, but I've just got a month and a half left. I don't know what happens next in September, and I really hate applying for jobs. It's kind of the worst thing in the world, but that's what I'm doing right now. I would much rather be working on my Fringe Festival show, Honey Garlic. You can check that out. I am making some progress. I made a bit of a leap since last week. I recorded like a run through of it, and now I'm in the nitpicking process, and then I'll start over again. Other good news in comedy business, though. Some of the beef walls seem to be tumbling down. Fences are being mended. And it all kind of, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, there was some Facebook fighting happening. But I'm trying to be the new and improved John Forward, instead of going in there guns blazing to defend my honor against these online smearings. I decided to mostly stay out of it. I addressed it kind of briefly and vaguely last week on the show in the intro in my usual cowardly, backhanded way. But I don't know. Instead of just coming out with it, I probably should have just not said anything at all and taken the full high road instead of just like most of the way and then throwing in a little dig because I'm an idiot. But that's how we roll here on St. John Forward Radio. other people did go guns blazing, if you want to hear some of that, and it's worth listening to. Kane and Peele, Matt Kanan's podcast with his guest Sam Laidman, they get into the nitty-gritty and get into a lot of the specific posts on Facebook, and then there was a pretty epic episode of the Spludecast that came out last week with friend of the show Mark Splude. I stated everything publicly. There were conversations being had behind the scenes, I must admit, and one of them, Splude, was gonna be reasonable and not take the bait and not feed the trolls, and he was just gonna drop it instead of releasing an incendiary podcast. So when I saw that he had changed his mind and put one out anyway, I was fully prepared to do some eye rolling, I'll admit. I was kind of hoping, like, yeah, good, don't feed the troll, just let him yell in his corner. But I listened to it, and it was pretty great. Honestly, it was probably my favorite episode yet. It was angry, it was aggressive, and it was harsh, but I thought it was fair. And it wasn't nice, but I don't think that's the point. If it wasn't nice, it was kind of necessary, I feel like. I don't know. Almost every word of it, I feel like it needed to be said, even if I don't have the nerve to say them publicly. I'm a little glad that somebody else did, and I'm glad to hear that that my good friend Mark has my back, because we were kind of lumped in together. So the two of us were the main focus of the online besmirching, but I kept my trap shut because I'm kind of worried about the fallout of it, and a lot of people on this comedy scene are afraid to speak their mind, myself included, obviously, just because we've been worried for a long time about saying the wrong thing and losing shows, and the sad part is that we were right to worry, because there are lots of people that lost out on opportunities for stage time for saying the wrong thing, or even being friends with people who have said the wrong things. And I thought that all these angry internet fights and podcasts putting out, I thought that was just gonna pour gas on the fire of our already divided comedy scene, but the fights and the podcasts, somehow had the strange effect of sort of making things better somehow. I'm as surprised as anybody. Local promoter Mark Burnett, who I'm going to say a name out loud because I'm not being underhanded. This was a person who was along with myself and some other people, or was heavily involved with the beefs. He's making some progress towards mending fences, and those fences have gotten pretty beaten up over the last year. So I'm happy to hear that. Just because of the kind of person that I am, so, like, part of me is like questioning the motives, and I want to know the. But, like, I don't care. I'm trying not to care. I just want to let it happen. I respect his decision. I was unblocked on Facebook. I sent him a friend request.
Unblocked!
There has been no official contact yet, but it'll probably happen at some point, and I feel weird about it. I don't know why, but I'm going to put my best foot forward and be a good boy. It's just strange. It's so much easier just having the faceless Bond villain that you can be mad at, but I feel like something's being taken away from me. I don't think I was bluffing and calling for everybody to let all this stuff go and just get along professionally, but I don't know. I feel like a bluff has been called. But I don't know, this is what I've been asking for pretty much the entire run of this radio show. It feels weird for it to actually happen. It's a lot easier to call for peace when you're pretty sure that the other side is never going to accept it, and you can be the good guy in the situation. Now I'm stuck with it, so, I don't know. There's a lot that happened, and I could dwell on it, but I'm not innocent either. Shots were fired on both sides. So I'm going to take my own advice. I'm going to swallow my pride. I'm going to take the olive branch as much as it comes my way instead of swatting it away like an asshole. And I'm happy to move on, and I'm optimistic for our future. And I hope that it continues, and let this be a lesson to any other hangers-on that are chugging all that haterade. I'm here with my my guest, John Nesbitt. How are you doing?
I am well, sir.
Local comedy super fan. He's been coming out to the shows quite a bit. I think he is the only person that me handing out flyers at Yuck Yucks that time won over to come to a No Jokes Barred show.
I think I really caught your eye there.
But you count for a whole bunch of people. So
yeah, like it was, at least four.
It was all worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I got four, that's one person per night of me burning bridges.
I actually got my older brother and his wife to come out on the night that it was packed, so they never want to go there again.
Well, they didn't see me. I wasn't on that show. But let's take a musical break, and then we'll get into it with Mr. Nesbitt here. I'm going to just play a song that I wish that I had heard last week. It would have made more sense. But I'm going to jump on the bandwagon, and this will be the end of any discussion on the topic. Dracula's with my name in your mouth. Oh, wait. Jeez. Every week I screw this up. Do you notice that? You listen to the show, right? How often would you say on the episodes you've heard, have I screwed up the first song? I forget to have the volume
up. Is there a Fifth Amendment in here?
I'll take that as a...
Keep talking.
We are back here on St. John Forward Radio. So I'm here with Mike. Do you prefer John or Jonathan?
I do go by John. You were, and right. You go by it as well.
Well, when I was a kid, I actually fought against it, and I eventually just gave up. When I was a kid, I insisted on Jonathan.
Did you?
Most of my family members still call me Jonathan. Like, I get weird if my dad calls me John. It doesn't feel right.
My family calls me John because I force them to.
Yeah.
But and I don't like it spelled with an H. If someone puts
an
H there,
that bothers me too. Sometimes I do it myself when I'm writing the name of the show on these sheets. I start writing St. John Forward Radio, and I started as St. John, and then I'm like, oh, what's my name?
That's understandable because of the city kind of like giving you like momentary dyslexia or whatever you would call that. I don't know.
It's especially annoying online because the person who is writing down your name only knows your name by seeing it in writing. like they are typing a message to one of us, and or well, yours would say Jonathan, but me on Facebook it says John Forward, J-O-N, yeah. And they will write to me. They'll have to look me up as John Forward spelled the right way and spell the name wrong. Yeah. That's who I need a beef with. That's the new villain.
Yourself.
The John with H people.
Yeah, that's a lot of them out there, though.
I've had... No, not the people that have that name. The people that use it incorrectly to us poor souls.
Anybody that uses anything incorrectly, I'm down for hating on.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
You're on notice, people that spell our names wrong. I need somebody to fight with.
Yeah. Let's pick a fight. I'm impressed with the St. John sign, you know? I think they should put little, like, fine print underneath it, though. Like, home of many pigeons or... Our pigeons are quite friendly, except for when you bring your three-year-old through King Square and they just kind of terrorize them. I've been watching the reactions, like certain parents will like grab their kid by the hood and kind of choke slam their own kid to save pigeons. And I'm like, well, the pigeons are all like, they're in the air, like they're out of there. And yeah. Like, I don't think that kid needed that kind of choke slam to save the pigeons.
Are you, how long have you been in town? Are you a saint? Are you a born and bred St. Johner? Also?
Well, I was born in the town of Monkeys, which is Moncton.
Right.
And I was raised out in the valley. So I know a lot about St. John.
Okay.
Because of the proximity, like 10 minutes away.
Okay, so you've been around. Like, you remember that it was the original St. John 2000 nonsense.
I was out of town during that.
Oh, the sign originally said St. John 2000, which was did stupid. It made sense in the year 2000
keep
when they did it.
Knocking down the letters and numbers, and yeah, that's cool. Like, update every year.
Yeah. And it's kind of cheesy, I think. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the St. John sign. I feel like people from out of town are making fun of us behind our back for having our stupid Hollywood sign.
Yeah, I think people generally... can go screw off.
You're right. I got to stop caring what other people think.
Yeah. I remember Gord Downie, and he's a cool guy, you know, and the whole cancer thing. And
cancer's pretty cool.
Everybody's got... It's a big place in everybody's heart. I didn't really mean that cancer was cool, but people with cancer can still be cool, I guess. But he came through the town and played in 94, I think it was, and he played Harbor Station. And I remember him getting, like, denied at certain clubs because of the way he was dressed. And then bitching about it on stage during the show. And I was like, Gord Downie's a douche. And I just called Gord Downie a douche. But I was young and I was, you know, I was just...
Was he wearing gang colors?
Easy to anger. Yeah, the gang signs, everything he was flashing, right? I was like, he's got guns. He's a douche. He's going to kill the rest of the band. He's insane. He's going postal in the crowd. But no, so I just didn't like Gord Downie from that point. But now I have to love him because he's, you know, he's Gord Downie. And, you know, it's 20 years later. Everyone grows as a person, right? So my personal growth has led me to this new reflective ability about Gord Downie's essence of being.
Yeah. And I don't know why I'm bothering to plug this, but there's a Tragically Hip cover band playing at Peppers on Saturday.
Yeah, I think I saw those guys. What are they? The something else?
Artificially
Hip? Artificially. They've got an artificial hip.
Yeah. I don't know.
They're like,
yeah, old. I think that's the gimmick. They don't even play Tragically Hip songs. They just all have artificial hips.
Yeah, they're just popping old people medication and just handing it out in the corners.
They're just a bunch of 70-year-old like bluegrass guys. Yeah. Banjos.
The banjo guys play on Prince William at, what is that, the Cask and Kettle. Yeah. You ever seen that? They sit at a table and there's like eight of them with a banjo.
I'd like to see that.
They just keep throwing the one banjo around.
Yes.
Actually, I think there's a guy with a bass, but. Probably just offended all those guys. That's not cool.
Probably. We're going to have banjo beef starting up now.
Let's offend every artistic and cool person around.
My wife May actually sent out some screenshots to us. She was looking on the webpage for some sort of bluegrass festival, actually, and there's some sort of beef going on with them too. Like,
well,
it's really funny. Somebody is posting on this like bluegrass festival about how like there's all these other local people that aren't allowed to be on the show.
Yeah, well, that's what Facebook is for, right? For divorces, for causing trouble,
bitterness,
mental illness, everything,
jealousy.
It's for it all. Yeah,
why not me-isms?
Yeah. I think in the States, Facebook is listed on the divorce papers of over 50% of the cases. I mean, that was a fact from, like, 2014.
Yeah, like, I don't really... Most of my Facebook drama these days happens on Facebook Messenger anyway. Like my actual Facebook feed is pretty well tailored. It's mostly just my wife will look over and like sneak a look at my phone, and when I'm scrolling through stuff, and she makes fun of me because it's mostly just like websites and stuff. Like, because like 90% of my friends, if they're just posting like pictures of their kids, like if somebody unfollows me or annoys me enough that I notice, like, ugh, not another one of these, then I'll just unfollow them. So
that's rough.
There aren't many people that I don't want to see that still come up in my feed. And if it's somebody that only posts like once every 6 months, I'll keep them followed.
That's quite respectable. If you can keep it down to like two posts a year, then you've accomplished something.
Well, that two annoying posts a year. If you post all the time and it's interesting, then I'll keep you around. But for the most part, it saves me from browsing the internet. Just all the websites that I like, I see all of their stuff.
I go through random spurts of like just hitting it hard, and then realizing, oh, I need to like ease off because people are going to hate me.
Yeah.
And then I go, and then again, I'm like, oh, I'm inspired to just like do like eight posts a day, and then I'm like, oh, they got to be hating me by now.
Yeah, I try not to get into it as much on Facebook anymore. Sometimes I fail. Usually I just really talk about it in some roundabout way here on the radio show.
True enough.
So, as I was saying, I met you at the Yuck Yucks on the boot camp / Just for Laughs weekend.
Yeah, I think you and Ken Bolton were standing on the hill there, I think. And we had a little chat there. Yeah. It was nice.
You were one of the many delightful people that I met that night, but so far, as far as I know, like I said, the only one that actually has come out to shows. So what was your experience with the comedy scene before the stars aligned and you came into contact with me?
The first one, actually, I met some individuals from the other side of said aforementioned whatever. I met Mark Burnett, and actually I had met Ken Bolton before. He was standing there with you.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Keenan. I saw one of his, I didn't meet him that night, but I think it was one of his original times being on stage.
Yeah.
And so I got to see sort of the evolution of Matt Keenan, which was cool because I emailed James and he got me in, even though it was sold out, to that comedy boot camp thing.
Yeah.
So I was in the front row for that. I got tons of pictures on Facebook, me like pounding a beer with James Mullinger, one of the cool black and white ones there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so yeah, that was my experience. So I had that one show. It was the KV Billiards thing, I guess. Yeah. And then I met you and Ken was there.
Yeah, Matt Keenan's doing good. He's coming up fast. He's to be honest, like with most people, the first time I saw him, I was like, yeah, okay. But I think I saw him at the Hubcap contest in Moncton. He came in third, and that was that was a solid set. And I told him as much. I think I booked him on No Jokes Bar Deluxe that night. I think I offered it to him. He might be the quickest comedian to get on there.
Well, that's good, because I think every time I've seen him, he's been better than the last.
Yeah,
so that's
sure.
good. And that
he'll be back at O'Leary's on August 5th. Have you been to any of the deluxe shows? I've seen you at the Arbor.
The last one I didn't go to because I had some crazy stomach itis.
No excuse.
Yeah. And that was, I was literally on the toilet like way too much. I think that's too much detail here too.
You could have just brought a bucket, man.
But yeah, just hang out in the corner with my drawers down below my knees or whatever.
Yeah, or like in the back room. That would have been fine. I think they could have accommodated that.
Just put a speaker in the bathroom and I just hang out in the stall for a night. And I could just do art on the inside.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So you saw a taste of the dark side first, which we're talking in the past tense. There's no more dark side,
no,
hopefully.
No.
But
Vader is dead. We don't resurrect Vader.
No, it's like the friendly like blue ghost version of Vader later on, maybe after
you get a couple drinks in you, and the Vader comes out.
Yeah. So what was your experience seeing the No Jokes Barred and such, like the R Bar and. Like,
yeah.
What's, I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I'm thinking lots of things, man. But some of them I can't say on air. But no, just kidding. But no, I think the No Jokes Bar at the R Bar is a definite fun time every time I've been there. My favorite cat that goes there, he's not really a cat, he's a dude, but it's got to be Arif. Like every time that I see Arif Hussein, and I tell him this to his face, and he still like shreds me, still makes fun of me. But he's just that like talented, but he doesn't even have sometimes, I was pretty sure he didn't even have any material one time, and he just got up there and literally made fun of everybody in the room.
Yeah, he's really good at crowd work. I tried to work on that for a little while, but I've mostly bailed on it lately. But yeah, no, Arif's really funny. He doesn't have, Arif has a little bit of a self-esteem issue.
And is that what it is?
Every time he does a show, he thinks he bombed. But
he's wearing the bomb vest.
Yeah, that's probably the confusion. He just walks by a mirror and just realizes.
Well, we can say this, people that aren't familiar, is because we always joke around about bomb vests with him. But anyway.
Yeah, but Arif and I did. What did you think of Arif and I's little?
You guys do well together. That the banter is quality.
Yeah, I think we have. Yeah, we have a good back and forth. I know that was planned out. That was all kind of in the moment.
Arif's in the house. Yeah, I noticed he kind of just walked in the door, and then all of a sudden he's on the stage, right? Or maybe I just didn't see him where he was standing.
I think he was there for the whole show. Some of us went out to dinner to celebrate the future or beef free future.
Well, would you guys go to Arby's then? Or?
We went to Rocky's.
Oh, nice.
I did order a beef taco.
Yeah, well, it's fitting.
So as a fan, you're enjoying the No Jokes Barred. How does it compare to the other ones? Like, not to say anything bad about the other ones, but what's good about No Jokes Barred that might not exist elsewhere?
No Jokes Barred is pretty. Because everybody knows everybody, there's a potential that guys can really bomb too in that room, I think, because this bar is pretty high, because most of the people, like, or 80% are the comedians that are in the room, 20% just people that really want karaoke, and then there's me, right, pretty much. That's your breakdown. But there might be some other random friends of comics that'll come out too, but not always, right?
Yeah,
but so, like, the time that Ben McDonald got really wasted, and when I did the live sketches that night, and he came at the end there, and it was like you had to literally pull him off the stage, just end it. And he accidentally, like, unknowingly gave me the finger, and then the whole guilt thing, and it turned out being funny, of course, but then he's like, well, where's my drawing? And I'm like, I don't know if I really want to do it, man. Like, the finger kind of threw me off, but he got his drawing, so. With a finger in the drawing too,
and so. stuff like that. It was, you know, it was a thing. I don't strive for the weird stuff like that to happen. Like, it was fine. Everybody enjoyed it, but you know,
he got hammered. Yeah.
Even when there's an altercation with an audience member or something, or you mentioned your favorite cat at the R Bar, there actually was a stray cat that walked into the bar once in the early days.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was.
You guys feed it and stuff?
No, it was. There's pictures on Facebook of Shane Ogden holding the cat while he's doing his set.
I literally walked past two girls on Prince William Street when I was going to meet you tonight, and one of them mistaked a seagull for a cat because it was all gray and stuff. She's like, "Oh, I thought that was a cat." So I was like obligated to go, "Hey, that's a nice cat." Like, and then they laughed, of course. But
yeah,
anyway.
All right. Well, let's take a break. Do you want to tell us about the song you have requested?
I believe this would be Fishbone Ma and Pa. And the people on the radio can't see this, but I'm wearing a shirt actually gifted to me by the lead singer Angelo Moore from 2002, I think, in Moncton. And I'd met Angelo a few times, like out in Calgary. I met him in 96. I actually had his personal number. I don't even know why. He just gave it to all his fans. Like, he's just that. At that time, he was, I guess. I think maybe he's worn down by the years since then now. But anyway, so it'd be a Fishbone Ma and Pa, and coming right up.
All right. Well, let's have a station ID to remind you what station you're listening to, and then we'll hear some Fishbone, and then we'll be back with John and John on St. John's Forward Radio.
This is Sarah Rankin, your friendly, fundy Fringe Festival director, and you're listening to Local 107.3.
That won't it hurt? No, she can.
Here on St. John Forward Radio, I'm joined by my guest, John Nesbitt, comedy fan extraordinaire on the scene. If you've also may have seen various sketch drawings of various comedians around these parts, this would be the guy responsible for those. Do you want to tell us about that?
I could give you a short version, because I could definitely talk for days about drawing, right? So I'll definitely have to keep it sort of
I'll tell short. You when it gets boring.
All right. Right about now. No. actually, when I was growing up, I drew a lot. I started drawing at like the age of 5, and then I'll just do it speedy. And then I hated art teachers in high school, so I didn't draw much between the age of 17 and 40, or 39, sorry, I'm 42 now. Mm-hmm. And then the last 3 years, I made a concerted effort to just get back into it. And what happened was just a small intention of trying to make people smile. And so I started with my family. I just did a sketch of everybody in my family. They all loved it. And then I went on to my Facebook friends, started doing, I didn't do everybody, but I did people, you know, that inspired me to want to do it.
Yeah.
And then I moved on to people in this public space a little bit, like artists that I liked. And I would just kind of tweet at them and just see what happened. And sometimes they would, most of the time, if they were managing, the ones managing their own feed or whatever, they would be like, hey, this is really cool. I'm honored, or I'm flattered, or whatever. Like, who are you? And it would just start a conversation.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, I'm now having conversations with cool artists that I respect. Because apparently artists like other artists. So anyway, that's
Performers also like people to pay attention to them. So if somebody's going to pay attention to them enough to draw a picture, we like it.
Well, that's true. That's one of those things in social behavior. If you want to get to know somebody, or you want to make somebody like you, ask them questions about them.
Yeah,
that's the way it works.
I have two paintings that have myself in them on my walls that were done by Sharon Epic at various comedy shows.
Nice.
Hanging up on my walls at home.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, and then specifically the ones with the all the comedians, I did one back in the winter of James Mullinger was the first one. Mm-hmm. I was in Toronto at the time and he was there. I didn't actually see him in Toronto, but anyway, he was nice enough to send me like a backdoor link to his movie, like The Comedian's Guide to Survival. So that's why I did that sketch, was sort of like a thank you to James for giving me this, the private code or whatever. And so the movie was awesome. It was funny. And so I did that. And then by the time I came back to New Brunswick, I was like, oh, there's all these other cool comedians. And then I was like, and I would meet them and then I would just be like inspired to draw them.
Yeah.
And that's how it kind of got on. And then eventually it was like, well, when the hell am I getting my drawing, you know? So that was, you said, you're joking one time at a show or whatever.
Yeah.
The time we said Ken Bolton will get his when he's old enough for it, right? Or at least I said that. But
yeah, you need to take Ken Bolton's death mask or something.
Yeah.
Just get some clay and just put it over him in the casket.
Well,
a sculpture.
Yeah, I ran into Ken in King Square with the pigeons, actually.
Yeah.
Right before he left town there. And the night before, I'd given him a print of his, though. So that was, I was saying I was going to bring more prints that time, and I wanted to, but my print budget was low. And I was thinking, you know, I'd rather eat. But so anyway, that's where that went. But he actually got his print before he left town, so.
Yeah, and shout out to Ken Bolton.
Yeah.
You're missed. Yeah, I kind of we all knew he was leaving, but it just kind of happened
all
of a sudden.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sad, I'm sure
just
he's
wishing
doing okay
there
out
was
there.
More pints around that we could have shared in that time with him, right?
Yeah, so. He was always the one that would be the one that would say what's on his mind, because he didn't. He gives the least amount of F words, I think.
Yeah,
of
well,
all
that's
the
always
comedians.
Good.
I think even more than Mark Splude.
Well, when you're old, right? Like, what are they going to do to you, right? You've been through everything, you know.
Yeah, like a comedy beef is literally a blip on Ken's timeline.
Yeah. It's and he's he had a battle with cancer too, didn't he?
The comedy beef is slightly less bad than his rectal cancer. So. Yeah.
I didn't know it was rectal cancer, but I knew it was a C word.
Yep. Yep, but he seems to be doing well, and he's off. Where is he, in Peterborough?
Yep, yeah, I think that's what he told me. Yeah. I was thinking it was like Scarborough, but apparently Peterborough is nicer than Scarborough.
One of the boroughs out there. So do you have any particular... did anybody not like their picture, or do you have any favorites?
Yeah, I do have a story about that. Marty D, when I posted his, apparently he'd never seen Star Trek. And I don't know, maybe it's because he's an Acadian or, you know... I don't know how you get to this age and not see Star Trek and not know what a Vulcan is.
They didn't have a French dub yet, but, on TQS.
Yeah, but anyway, so he there was Vulcan ears, and I made him look very alien-like. I was taking a very artistic liberty on that one, and he said it scared him, so he could not hit the like button out of fear. And actually, Garrett Clark said that his was this was a positive one, though. He said he was in hysterics and afraid at the same time, but his was Night Danger, like it was supposed to be scared, like that was his album cover, right? And he was actually nice enough to mail me a physical disc, and then I was like, crap, I don't even have anything to play this on in the regular age here now, but I found a way to play it.
Yeah.
And then I was nice, and then I handed it to my niece, that she's driving around the city with it in her car. So
yeah, I think I only met him briefly, but he seemed to be a nice fellow. I've seen him perform at the Yuck Yucks, and I enjoyed his set.
He's a funny man for sure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, his was an in between, but he definitely loved it. And then Marty D, once I explained to him the kind of idea behind it, then he was like, "Oh, okay, all right, okay." And then
I remember seeing it and thinking like, "Oh, he looks like a gremlin." Like, yeah. I didn't know that it was like an on purpose thing. I thought that one just came out kind of.
Yeah, I just really lost the ability there to be accurate. Yeah.
And I was like, wait, is that what... Maybe he always looks like a gremlin. I'll have to take a
actually,
closer look.
I was just really high that time, and that's how it came out. No,
don't do drugs, kids.
I don't actually do drugs. I'm just kidding, because we're trying to make jokes here. So,
all right. So, yeah, any other notable people that you've drawn that have gotten back to you? Anybody that we'd know?
As far as comedians?
Well, other than the comedians on the local scene.
Oh, tons of people. I mean, I did a million pictures of Alexia Fast, and we actually had phone conversations and Skyping, and she wanted to learn this song that my friend Dylan Anderson wrote for her. And so we tried to Skype that, tried to teach her a song over Skype, and then we had bad Wi-Fi and blah, blah, blah. And then I did some other people, like Carrie Ann Moss. Who else?
Where is people can ones. See these on your Instagram, right?
Yeah, most of them are on there. Like, I've got Twitter. Two Instagrams, one that I don't know why, but I just put private. I just felt like, I don't know why. But I mean, I might get rid of one of them. One of them is just drawings, and one of them is like drawings plus like just a menagerie of other things.
Well, what's which one should people check out?
Oh, they can check out the let's plug some things. Yeah, well, JNez19 is the one that they can just publicly see all of them. All right. And if they want to send me a request on the one at Jim Chad each, then I'll take a look at them. And I'll see if I want to accept.
I'll put it in the show notes on the podcast version.
There you go. Yeah, and my Twitter is at Jim Chad each too, and Facebook. I have a page actually that I've started on there. It's at Jim Chad Each One is the handle for that. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit of insanity on there, just kind of things that I'm into, odd things, kind of different dimensions and manifestations and whatever. Just come along and check it out. I'm going to be doing Vedic star chart readings. Yeah. So if you want one of those, hit me up.
All right. Well, let's. Yeah, I want to talk more, maybe more about the star chart things. But let's take a break. I was telling you earlier, I'm going to see the Headstones in Moncton in a couple of weeks, and we were talking about how they got back together. But it's kind of I said, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It seems like even if it's the original members of the Headstones, it's still more basically Hugh Dillon solo project. Only these guys jumped on, and the name. Cells.
I have one question about that. Have you seen them before?
No.
Okay, don't go too close to the front, because Hugh Dillon has this tendency of clearing his nose and shooting mucus.
I have been to a B.A. Johnson show, so I'll just follow the same protocol. Yeah,
so if you're in the front, you could actually get loogied in the face. I've seen fans get it from Hugh Dillon, so that's a warning.
That's a nice souvenir to bring home.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I won't wash that shirt. Your loogie catcher, I guess. Yeah. I don't know how you keep that kind of a sample.
But, they put out an album a few years ago called One in the Chamber Music, and it was a lot of, like, acoustic versions of classic Headstones.
Yeah, that's
songs,
a good time for a nose clear as an acoustic track, I think.
Yeah, so this is the acoustic version of Cemetery, just for a taste. I hope they rock out a bit more than this when I go to see them, but they're old, and I'm too old for a mosh pit anyway, so I'm going to like it either way.
For sure.
I got a gal that lives on the wrong side of town. Know what I want, and man, you know she'll know how. It's the other side, another place. Like it there, no account of taste. Can't think of nothing when I'm without her. But the rain and the wind and the cemetery dirt. Went down to the cemetery. Ain't nobody listening to things. You gotta get out of hand. There's only one point.
Headstones with Cemetery Acoustic on St. John Forward Radio. I'm John Forward, and I'm here with my guest, John Nesbitt, also an avid music fan. We've talked about music quite a bit. What are some of your favorite bands? And you seem to be a big music guy.
Well, I'm a big I'm Mother Earth guy because personal friends with Brian, although he's not in the band anymore. Brian actually did this tattoo in my arm right here.
Cool.
But
for the non-super fans, Brian is the guy that came on after Edwin
yeah,
on Brian the Blue Byrne. Green Orange and Quicksilver Meat Dream albums.
Yeah.
He was still with them, I think, when I saw them at Fred Rock a few years ago.
He's like the energy level when Brian is with them is a 10, and when Edwin it's like a 3.
Yeah.
But I don't have anything against Edwin. He's just not Brian, like as far as jumping around and just being frenetic on the stage. Like Brian's just super talented, super nice, like salt of the earth type guy too, like very humble, genuine person. Like he's done so many amazing charitable initiatives and stuff.
Yeah, and I don't think he gets his due from the casual fans, but I think like those first two albums that had Edwin on them are really good, and I can see why people can be attached to those. But
well, they tried to go with a little bit different direction with the other ones, right?
But so. like Blue Green Orange, I don't love that album. It's kind of okay. It's probably my least favorite.
Quicksilver Meat Dream, though.
Quicksilver Meat Dream.
You got to respect that one for sure.
That one, it's strange. It's kind of like I Mother Earth mixed with a little bit of Chili Peppers and Tool.
Well, it was actually produced by the Tool, one of the producers that produces most Tool albums. Because Tool doesn't really make many albums. They take like 15 years in between. But I'm a fan also of the Beta Machine, Matt McJunkin's and Jeff Friedel's band. They're in A Perfect Circle.
Yeah.
And I did a sketch for them. And I actually, out of my own pocket, I just sent them 5 prints to LA. Like, and they... So they'll actually PM me and stuff, like they knew who I am on Facebook and stuff. But not that it's like my life's goal to be PMing with like rock stars, but it's still kind of cool.
Your life's goal is to be on St. John Forward.
Yeah,
Radio.
Like I've achieved it. I can go outside and get hit by a bus.
Yeah,
like,
this it's all is downhill all right. from here. You might as well.
I'll just go out and just hang out with the street people, you know?
Yeah, there's a bus stop right out the door here.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, we could...
just lay down in the road.
I could just roll down a really big hill, you know? That'll... and then shred into some water or something.
Yeah. Well, we've got big hills and water. We've got it all here at UMB.
There's a lot of hills, yeah.
So...
what else music-wise? Yeah, Perfect Circle, obviously, if I'm going to say Beta Machine.
Somersault in 2000.
They're... I just anything Maynard's involved in, Pussifer, I'm a big fan of that too.
Yeah, I just went to see Tool in Bangor back in May.
Yeah.
I was actually offered that weekend at Yuck Yucks, but I couldn't make it because I already spent a lot of money on Tool tickets and I didn't want to miss that show.
Yeah. I've seen Tool, and I've seen A Perfect Circle like multiple times.
Yeah, I saw Tool on the Lateralis tour.
Nice.
And they, Meshuggah opened for them, and I missed that part. I'm really disappointed about that. But they had the two contortionist people from the Schism video actually there, and they were like hanging from the ceiling and like doing weird stuff.
Yeah, like Maynard's, that whole Pussifer thing was kind of a performance art too. I don't know if you've seen too much of their shows online, but if you, the last one for their last album, they actually had all these guys dressed up and they had a wrestling ring. They had all these masks and Maynard's wearing a mask and Karina Round, the, cause there's a couple female vocalists with them too, like Karina Round and, Omniflux is her name, and I sent her a sketch too. So basically all these people and Billy Howard, Elephant Perfect Circle, like they all know who I am just because of like the combination of sketches that have hit like their sort of inner circle group. Like I've targeted them. It's like my target market for sending sketches.
Yeah, I like Maynard when he lets himself be silly instead of being like super serious. Like in
Duel. I mean,
sometimes
he can...
and I don't like all of the Pussifer albums I've heard.
He's a big maker of wine too, like that big vineyard that he's got.
Vineyard,
like, he's hugely into that.
He made a few appearances on the Mr. Show back in the day, and Maynard, I don't know who else. I think the band name Pussifer started with I don't know if it was in Run Ronnie Run the movie or if it was from the show, but they Maynard, I think it was called Pussifer, did a song about like called like Shit Kicking Fat Kid or something. Was,
yeah, there's definitely a tongue in, like a massive tongue in cheek going on with Pussifer. Yeah. Like especially I think early
it just
things.
Started out as like a joke band name, and they just did that one song on that soundtrack for either the show or the TV.
Yeah,
the
it definitely evolved because the first album he's doing weird voices, like singing the whole song in kind of a weird low baritone, and talking about women having the thickness and stuff, and then later on it gets really like very artistic later, and then still like just I don't know a lot more like melodic the, and stuff like with the two females.
OP8 had more kind of tongue-in-cheek lyrics and
that's like old school, the
hidden track on Undertow about like the carrot holocaust or whatever is
with these
on.
Are the cries of the carrots. Yeah. That reminds me of like Primus and the Too Many Puppies song. Have you ever heard that one?
Yeah,
with guns in their hands and stuff.
Yeah,
not too many people are familiar with that.
Yeah, no, Primus. I saw Primus in Portland a while ago.
Portland, Maine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was, I don't remember any of it. I was too drunk and other things. Like, I was in the States, so I didn't have any of my medication with me. So I...
That's rough.
So I got extra drunk to compensate, but then there was some people in front of us in line that had a big bag of medication that they needed to use up before we got in.
Were they selling any? Or
no, they were just sharing. Everybody loves to share their medication with the Canadian guy.
It's a free-for-all, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a free pass. You're just walking down the street and be like, hey, you want to help out a Canadian? They will almost always do so.
Yeah, that works.
yeah, except for the one time in Las Vegas where I bought some sort of green cooking spices off a guy on the Vegas Strip. That was disappointing. He did not help out this Canadian.
It's never good to buy cooking spices in Vegas.
That's not what I thought it was.
Oh.
It was in my pocket before I even paid for it, which should have raised a red flag.
Yeah, that's never good. But there's not, like, really anybody you can go to. There's not, like, a drug deal ombudsman, like, for your street standard purchase, you know?
Not yet. Someday. We're working into it.
Exactly.
But, it's tough. Yeah, well, let's play one more song, and then we'll come back and wrap this thing up. I don't have anything picked up. Let's we're talking about Maynard side projects. Let's play some Pygmy Love Circus. I think Danny Carey's in this band, so let's hear some "Living Like Shit" by Pygmy Love Circus on St. John Forward Radio.
gave up your soul. Go ahead and
we're back on St. John Forward Radio. That was Living Like Shit by Pygmy Love Circus. We're pretty well to the end of the show. What's going on?
Hey, more music.
I don't know. What was that? Something on my playlist. Oh, that was some Big Boy Chocolate. Maybe I'll play that next week. We plugged your Twitter and Instagram earlier. Yep. I'll put it in the show notes if you want to listen to the podcast version. You can wait for this to come out on Wednesday on johnforward.podbean.com or just regular old johnforward.com in the podcast section. We'll get you there. Shows coming up. I got nothing this weekend. I'm probably going to go see that Tragically Hip cover band if anybody wants to join me. The wife's out of town for a bachelorette party. Hopefully they're not going to a comedy show to ruin it.
Where are they playing?
They're at Pepper's.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday night.
I saw them at the Barrel something or other in Quispam.
Yeah.
Barrel's Head, I think it's called.
And then next Wednesday, well, Matt Keenan's show in Hampton's going on. I might cross enemy lines. I might go see Amateur Night at Yuck Yucks on the Wednesday because Mark Splood's going to be performing. I'm just going to go as an audience member.
I might go there, too, because it's just so damn close to where I live. And yeah. Drake Tobias, I think, is on that lineup, too.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people, and then the next weekend I'm going to the Headstones, but I'll probably try to check out the Chuckles show. It's Mark Sove and Mark Splood and Matt Keenan and Carrie Lee this weekend, and then No Jokes Barred Deluxe on August 4th with headliner Brittany Campbell. Shane Ogden will be hosting that one, and we've also got Matt Keenan and Steve Fudge, and I'll probably throw myself in there, so... This has been St. John Forward Radio. My guest, John Nesbitt, thank you for coming.
Ah, my pleasure, sir.
And, we're here every Monday night, 9 to 10. That's all. ¶¶